This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Nope, not going to do it. Of course I can do it. Ray, play my music. Wakey, eggs and bakey, good the Thursday morning. This is DCR, Rick DiPietro, Chris Canty, and Dave Rothenberg coming to you live on 98.7 ESPN New York.
This is DCR,
April Fool's edition of DPR with you
on 98.7 ESPN.
Cheated and I've lied. I broke down and I've cried.
I got to give you a lot of credit this morning. 5 o'clock, you woke up early, you wrote your open. You're like Lorne Michaels on Saturday Night Live, get this thing done. Very well done. Now, will that be your go-to? Wakey, eggs and bakey?
Well, I don't know. It was a run-through. Just see how you guys like
it. It was a dry run. I liked it. Big fan of wakey, eggs and bakey.
I was so close to the DPR. I was so close.
Ah! You would have had the perfect game, but I give you credit for this. It was a blip. It was a mistake. You didn't let it ruin you.
This was like Daniel Jones just staring at the end zone. Just staring at it. Almost there. Just tripped.
Oh, my gosh.
Turf monster.
But still scored on the drive.
Exactly. Still scored on the drive. But
I had to, though.
At that point, you have to.
You had no choice. Even if it meant that you became injured, you had to get into the end zone there if you're the Giants. And you had to bring it to the goal line and over the goal line in that open after the DPR. But it was a beautiful job by you.
Yeah, I had no choice. And it actually worked out, too. So I could play the wake up. It's the first of the month, which was good. April 1st.
Very well done. Very, very well done. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So you love the Mets, right? You've established that over and over. You adore the Mets, yes?
Love. I'm
going to put you on the spot here, and I think Chris is going to agree with me. You can't go to bed early tonight. You can get into bed. You can cuddle with Cass. You can shut things sort of down, but you need to watch the Mets all the way through tonight. Is that something you're going to do, or are you going to do 8:30 bedtime and watch it on the DVR in the morning?
I can't promise anything. I will say this, though. I can promise that I will stay up. Even if they play the game, I will stay up for the entirety of Jacob DeGrom's start.
Mm. That's a promise.
That's a promise. Like, however long he goes.
So he goes 111 pitches and 7 2/3,
which
you're
is not
locked
happen.
In.
I'm locked in.
I'm just humor me for a moment. Whatever it is, you're locked in for the duration with DeGrom.
Unless there's a rain delay, yes.
So you know what's going to happen tonight, right, Dave? DeGrom's going to go out there and pitch a complete game. You know that's what's going to happen.
I hope so.
That's what's going to happen.
I'll sacrifice sleep for that. You guys know me better. I would sacrifice sleep for that.
How great would that be?
Oh, it would be. I mean, you get all of a sudden.
Let me see if I understand how your mind works. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Mets up 3-2, bottom 8, 2 outs. They go. They get DeGrom. They bring in Trevor May. At that moment, you're like, all right, let's shut it down.
No, can't cut it off after that. No.
No, of course not. I mean, I'm willing to be a little bit flexible with the decision. If that's the case, then I'm going to stay up. But if DeGrom goes, I mean, he goes 6 2/3, I'll probably shut it down.
Do you finish the inning or do you just, you turn it off and you're done?
I have to finish the inning.
You finish the inning, okay.
Yeah, I finish the inning, then I'll DVR the rest.
Fair enough. We'll get to the Pete Alonso story in just a moment, what he said. I don't think it's that big a deal, but I have a feeling some people will think it's a big deal. We'll go there in a minute. James in Jersey. James, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say congrats on your time slot. I do got a tiny bone to pick with Canty, though, before I go on to my point.
Nice. Canty, go ahead.
You got to stop going on KJZ, man. We need you to stay here, man. Because this is how it starts, you know? You start stopping at the sides for dinner. Next thing you know, you're spending nights over there. You need to stay here home at DCR, man. That's it.
You can't. We got rules to how we do this, man. You can't fall in love with the side chick. You can't. That's violating the code.
This is what's going to happen.
You cannot do it. This is not a love thing with me and KJZ. This is not a love thing. I'll just leave it at that. It's not a love thing.
This is what happens, James. You're right. Because all of a sudden I look over and he's doing a show with Theo Huxtable. Jay Will wearing the Theo Huxtable sweater. And now, before you know it, he gets Theo pregnant. And now he's Bartolo Colon. He's got a whole side family.
Wow. Cannot believe you just called that man Theo Huxtable. Wow.
I don't think you're supposed to make any mention of the Cosby Show ever even existing, by the way.
Theo didn't say, do anything,
I didn't say
no
Bill.
Day.
Well, no, Theo, but still, I think that's scratch from everyone's memory.
I like to take my time.
You can't.
I can't do that.
No, you don't. No, I don't.
No.
I apologize. I say my bad.
No, no pudding pops.
My fault. My fault. My wife
played
me.
That was Malcolm Jamal Warner, right?
Yes.
I love that show. What a shame.
Well, yeah. Well, what do you want to do?
So you can never watch the show again? Is that how that goes?
I think if you watch the show, you feel uncomfortable watching that show now.
Okay.
I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All right. Pete Alonso. Now, this is from, I think this took place at a B&H in downtown Manhattan yesterday. Pete Alonso was on with Barton Hahn. And is this going to be a big deal? I don't know. Let's find out what you guys are thinking. 800-919-3776. I don't think it is, but here he is discussing himself and one Aaron Judge.
I said that you were a better baseball player than if I had to pick, I would take you over Aaron Judge. And they laughed at me. Tell them why I'm right and they wrong.
Well, for me, I really appreciate that. But for me, I take pride in being built to last. I may not win the battle that day, but for me, I'm going to win the war. And that's my mentality. I look to mentally wear down and physically wear down my opponents and grind them down. And over the course of the season, I'm there for the long haul. That's the type of player I am, and I want to continue to be that. And for me, I take pride in staying healthy. I take pride in my performance and being mentally locked in every single day.
Chris, is that a shot at one Aaron Judge? Does that bother you?
Hell yeah, that's a shot, Dave. There's no other way to interpret that. Like, if Pete Alonso wanted to punt on answering the question, then he could have. There was absolutely an out to do that. He could have simply said to Bart, I don't get into all of that. I focus on my game and trying to do the best that I can to help my team win. That's how you can answer it if you don't want to add any fuel to the fire. But he chose not to do that. He fed into it, and he took it a step further by saying, yeah, I'm built to last. An interpretation is, I don't think that Aaron Judge is built that way. So I don't know, Dave. That to me is a shot, but that's just add a little more gas to the Mets-Yankees rivalry this season, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, so a couple things. Firstly, I love it. I love that he went there is my initial take, and my second take is, and you know I love Alonso, when both are healthy, and I think that's a big caveat, Aaron Judge is a better player.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is the better player between those two.
Yeah, the initial take is a ridiculous take. Aaron Judge, you're right, when he's healthy, he's a better player than Pete Alonso. Like, defensively, it's not even close. Like, Pete Alonso is nowhere close to Aaron Judge defensively.
No.
And offensively, they're similar. So let's just get that out of the way. But I love every second of what Pete Alonso said. The only thing he could have pointed to, the only thing when he got asked that question that he could point to that would separate him from Aaron Judge would be his ability to stay healthy, and Aaron Judge is always hurt.
That's great.
And that's exactly where he went.
You know what I love about it? Like, because he's such a nice guy. It's not like he was, like, it's not like you think of him and sit there and you're like, oh, he's such a bad guy and such a troll and he went there. Like, you look at him and think, boy, what a great guy. And yet he still went there. So it's like a great guy went to a place that was unexpected. I love it.
Yeah, Bart opened that door and Pete Alonso walked right on through it. But I don't know how you hear that clip, Dave, and interpret it as anything other than a shot. Like, it's clearly a shot at Aaron Judge because he can't stay healthy. I mean, Pete Alonso's not wrong. Aaron Judge has got to figure out a way to be able to stay on the field and be available for his team. But, I mean, that's the crosstown rival taking a shot at the Yankees. I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting, Mets and Yankees battling for headlines this season.
It's going to be great. Let's go to Gil in Newburgh. Gil, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yesterday in the afternoon show, they were talking about Jacob deGrom as being, you know, going into the Hall of Fame. I was wondering what you guys thought about his status since, you know, the Mets lose a lot of the 1-0 games and Jacob deGrom has so many no decisions, you know, because he never got a lot of run support. Do you think that will affect his Hall of Fame status? Because most of the stuff, you know, used to be 300 wins.
Not anymore.
He doesn't get to 300 wins.
Not anymore.
I mean, I'm just, I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
I think he has a really good shot to get into the Hall. Well, I think the next 3 to 5 years will determine that, and I don't think wins mean anything anymore.
No, it has nothing to do with wins. And the reason why they were talking about it on the afternoon show was because Jacob DeGrom was asked the question. That was something that he actually thinks about. Yeah, that he wants and he thinks about, which, I mean, I think everyone was surprised when you hear that. I mean, I don't know how many athletes, you know, are at where Jacob DeGrom is at in their career and actually will verbalize that they're actually thinking about being a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, his trajectory is the Hall of Fame if he continues for the next, like Dave just mentioned, the next, you know, 3 to 5 years to pitch the way that he's been pitching. Yeah, I mean, that's a real possibility.
Yeah, if he adds another Cy Young to the trophy case, if he gets that this year, making it 3 and 4 seasons, it's a wrap. He's going in the Hall of Fame. He'll be in Cooperstown.
I mean, he's been great. Even the beginning stages of his career, right? His first year, 26, and he came up late. He had a 2.69 ERA, and he was 9-6. The next year, 2.54, was 14-8. The worst ERA the guy's had is 3.53. Think about that for a second. He's been in the league 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is his 8th season, and he's never had an ERA worse than 3.53. He's only had two of those seasons over 3. He had a 3.04. He had a 3.04 ERA, and he was 7-8 in 2016. It really is incredible the lack of run support this guy gets, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, he's the most dominant pitcher in baseball.
He went 10-9 with a 1.7 ERA.
He's the most dominant pitcher in baseball. And the organization was penny pinching and hadn't done what it should do in order to put the right supporting cast around him. And it's still kind of a mishmash defensively, even though they're going to be a lot better with Lindor and McCann out there. But, I mean, dude is phenomenal. And, you know, you talk about him not having the flair or not having that cachet that a Francisco Lindor has. But, I mean, there's something to be said for Jacob DeGrom taking the ball every fifth day and going about his business in a very workmanlike fashion. I mean, the guy is a machine. I mean, Dave, you're a big whip guy. The last 3 years, the guy hadn't had a whip over 1. Think about that.
Yeah,
like, he's
it's remarkable.
He's unbelievable.
I'm surprised you let that alone, Rick.
Yeah, I'm more mature nowadays.
Yeah, I don't think so. More from Pete Alonso. Here he is on Jacob DeGrom and the fact that he thinks this guy is going to the Hall.
So when we do our live ABs before we start camp, he looks electric every single time. And he's so incredibly sharp. And for him, he just stands above everybody else. Like, he's in his own category. And, I mean, MVP, he's got a great chance to win that. I mean, Cy Young, obviously, he's got two of them now in the books. But the one thing that I think he's going to end up doing, I think Jake DeGrom is a Hall of Famer. I think that's how much I think of him. And if I was going to be a person that were to vote for him and I think that's probably going to be the thing. I mean, Jake is a bona fide Hall of Famer, and he's the best in baseball, and I think he's the best pitcher of this current generation.
It's hard to argue with any of those things, isn't it? I mean, best pitcher in baseball, best pitcher of this generation. I think those are very fair statements from Alonso.
What was he? A bad start last year away from winning his third consecutive Cy Young?
Yeah, he had that one bad start at the end, remember?
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking about a guy who, I mean, when we do our National League picks, I mean, he's the one he'll be the one I pick to win the Cy Young this year. He's been that, like, he's only getting better. That's what's scary.
It's like, well, he's not 102 in spring training this year?
Yeah, he's tickling 102, and not to mention the fact that this guy isn't one of those guys that just throws really hard. Like, he knows how to pitch.
He's a pitcher.
So, I mean, when you look at how important he is to this team, too, this year with, you know, Syndergaard coming back, hopefully by June. You got no Carrasco. I mean, there are some questions about their pitching staff, their starting staff, but he is, I mean, every time you give him the ball, you feel like, okay, we're going to win this game.
So DeGrom or Kershaw, who's the pitcher of this generation?
Who, I would say
Kershaw's
ask me after
body
this,
of work, man.
Yeah, I would say ask me after this season.
Okay.
Yeah. If he's lights out again this season,
yeah,
which I think with I mean, the additions that they made, if he's lights out, I would imagine they make the postseason, and I can only imagine he's gonna be awesome to watch in the postseason, and he wins another. I mean, he wins 3 Cy Youngs in 4 years. I mean, then now
we're talking
a serious conversation.
You're in uncharted territory if he does that. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Mike in Middletown. Mike, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Mike.
Mikey, with us?
I got to be honest, I think that was RJ trying to sabotage the show.
Why do you? I understand why you keep piling on RJ.
Can I tell you why? Can I before you attack me and jump me? Can I explain why? Because
I don't know if
all,
I'm going to appreciate your explanation. The guy, the Sabres finally win. He's in a good mood, and you just want to.
I don't know that
he's
trying to sabotage me and trying to sabotage the show. I'm all ready to go to break. I look at the clock. I see that timeliness is very important, and I'm going to send it to break. And RJ, as I'm just about to, chimes in. Go to Mike in Middletown. Go to Mike in Middletown. And I say, all right, you know what? He's the producer. He's in a good mood. Sabres won, like you mentioned. I'll go to Mike in Middletown. Nowhere to be found. You think that's coincidental? No. RJ sabotaged that right there. You saw that.
Listen, I'm taking RJ's side. This is not RJ's fault.
He had a great point. If you want me to hold the L on that, I'll do that. But I think there was a lot of upside there. It didn't work out. It's like a draft pick. It just didn't work, you know?
So I'll turn this damn bus around. That'll end your precious little field trip pretty damn quick.
Is that what you're telling me? That was the Derek Brown of the show?
Listen.
The Andre Baker?
Yeah, all you do is just back buses up on people.
Don't you dare talk about Mike that way.
He's the DeAndre Baker of the show.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Buster only. I mean, I asked him last week if he would join us today. He said yes, and 7 o'clock this morning he will be with us bright and early on 98.7. I don't know whether this is the right thing to do. He's back, and he is also blaming RJ for sabotage, and that is Mike in Middletown. Good morning, Mike. You're back. Welcome.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Candy. Rich, hey, I did not necessarily blame RJ. I was just following your lead about the sabotage. I thought you did it, actually, Dave.
I did nothing. I think it was RJ. Did you just call him Rich, by the way?
No, DiPietro.
But Rich?
Rick.
Okay, I thought I heard Rich. I apologize, Mike.
I would rather be called Dick. Dickie than Rich.
No. We don't do that. I just want to mention something, Dave. I'm a big Yankee fan, and I can't really dispute, you know, DeGrom being better than Cole. You know, he has a resume, and I love Cole. But I will dispute DeGrom being the best pitcher of this generation. And I'm kind of disappointed in you, Dave. You being a savant of baseball, everything, not even mention Kershaw being the best of this.
Well, he went away again. I mean, RJ clearly has a vendetta towards this guy. But listen, I think it's fair. I'm not gonna hammer anybody that says that Kershaw is the better pitcher than DeGrom. I mean, Kershaw has been doing it for longer. I mean, Kershaw's led the league in ERA, what, like 4 or 5 times? He's a wonderful pitcher.
We did mention Kershaw.
Yeah, of course I mentioned.
That was the first name that we mentioned.
Kershaw?
I don't even want to get into
he's
it.
Got
it
what?
Was the first name that we mentioned is Clayton Kershaw.
And I think he won the double, right? Didn't he win the Cy Young and the MVP in the same year?
Yeah, maybe you can ask Buster about that.
What are you taking shots at me for? You know, I wanted to clarify. I didn't want it to be misunderstood what Buster was saying. So because I want clarification, you're not going to beat me up over it?
You're supposed to be a savant, Dave. You should know this.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what he was thinking. I can't read somebody's mind. Are you just going to attack me at the drop of a hat? It's unfair. Let's go to John in Valley Stream. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. First and foremost, I just want to express, like I always do, my gratitude for you guys for the last year, keeping it real and keeping everything positive. I was telling RJ what I wanted to say, you guys were actually elaborating on it. So I want to switch it up. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I love the signing of Lindor. I love Alonso's jab at Judge. I love the vibe. I feel like it's going to be a really good New York baseball season. Just real quick. If both guys stay healthy throughout the year, who do you think has a better offensive year, Sanchez or Alonso? Thanks for taking my call, guys. Love you.
I think Pete Alonso is going to have a huge year.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, look at how many home runs he hit last year. And it was a down year for him.
Yeah, he was bad last year.
He was bad last year. And, I mean, he's been great this spring.
You think he's going to go in the 40s?
I think he could. I mean, I think he could. I think he'll be right. I mean, if he's not in the 40s, I think he's high 30s. I do. I mean, here's the thing with Gary Sanchez. He had a great start to his spring, and then second half of the spring, he was awful. I don't think that Pete Alonso, I don't think at this point in Pete Alonso's career, he's feeling the same kind of pressure that Gary Sanchez is feeling.
Nor should he. But I'll also say this. Pete Alonso could have a Pete Alonso was not good last year and still hit home runs. When Gary Sanchez is bad, Gary Sanchez is bad. When Pete Alonso is bad, he's still gonna. I mean, there's no way if he's healthy for the year, he doesn't hit you 30-plus home runs. There's no way.
Okay, so why are you jumping me for answering the question the way I answer the question?
I was just having a conversation. We do a sports talk show. Chris, I find him to be very sensitive and on edge today, and I didn't think it would be that way with baseball starting.
Well, you knew it would be this way with having him do predictions, the Knicks taking a loss last night and his team starting opening day, coming off of that contract negotiation with Lindor. You knew that Rico was going to be on edge a little bit, Dave.
But so you feel it.
So if you didn't anticipate that, that's your bad.
Yeah,
that's not on Rico.
Fair. I think that's fair.
How about those Easter Bunny cakes? You guys get that picture I tweet I sent you?
No. When did you send that?
No.
I just sent the picture. Hang on,
by the way. You sent the picture 90 seconds ago. So what do you think? We're just staring at our phone waiting for some pictures from you? By the way, these are beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice,
those
right?
Are awesome.
Yeah,
those are
these are wonderful. How
Delicious
long did this kind of
too.
Thing take?
It took way longer than we did it with Buddy from the Cake Boss. And it was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be over at 7. And he is like he just wanted to make sure that it was like his cake was perfect. So it took, I think we started at 6, and I think we didn't get done till close to 8.
So 2 hours for this cake.
That's a lot of work that goes into that cake.
Well, it looks it. It really. Now, the kids were heavily involved in this, right?
Yeah, Milo and I did the...
The one on the right.
The one on the right, and Ellen and Cass did the one on the left.
Beautiful. You could sell these. I mean, these are beautiful
nice, right?
looking cakes. Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Cake was delicious, too.
Beautiful job by you. I mean, the family should be very proud. All right. I'm being sincere.
It didn't sound it, Dave.
Oh,
it
my
didn't.
God. Opening day update brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Join Tipico Sportsbook in New Jersey and receive an instant match deposit up to $750. Let's make this interesting gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You got, arguably the best two pitchers in baseball on the mound today. You got Garrett Cole at 1 o'clock for the Yankees, Jacob DeGrom, 7 o'clock for the Mets. Both games you can take in on ESPN. So the owner of the Giants, John Mara, spoke yesterday, and... I don't know, man. I can't believe that he said this. Do you think he really believes this about winning, and he believes every year this team's going to go to the postseason? Here he is, the owner of the Giants, one John Mara.
You know, I'm tired of the losing and of having the postseason press conference trying to explain what went wrong and why I think we're making progress. It's time for us to start winning some more, and that's one of the reasons we spent the money that we did. I do think we're making progress here. We've added more players. It's definitely a better locker room than we've had in a while. And I think Joe has done a terrific job instilling a certain culture here. And the players believe in him, and the fans seem to believe in him, too. So I think we're moving in the right direction. But obviously, it's been brutal the last few years. And we're looking forward to turning it around and not having to make excuses for why we haven't done it.
All right, I actually don't think that's that bad. I was under the impression that he said something to the effect of, I expect to go to the postseason every single year, which I think is kind of a ridiculous thing. But what he said there I think is reasonable. I don't think it's that bad.
No, I agree with what he said, Dave, in terms of them getting the culture in that building turned around. Now, where I will disagree with him is, it's not just been a bad 4 or 5 years. It's been an awful decade. I mean, outside of Super Bowl 46 and then going to the playoffs in 2016, I mean, this has been terrible. Dave, 6 of the last 7 years, the Giants have been a double-digit loss team. So, I mean, it's been a long time since this team has been consistently competitive, and I feel like the Giants have the pieces in place to be able to do that. The only question that you have, well, not the only, but the biggest question that you have is whether or not you got a quarterback. You feel like you've answered the
question.
You feel like you've answered the question with the head coach, which is something that has eluded them since Tom Coughlin left. But now it's like, okay, do we have the guy under center that's going to lead our franchise for the next decade? They're going to find out this year.
That's the big question, is do you have the quarterback? Because if you don't, I mean, you can start back from almost scratch again after the season.
Well, he's got to be feeling pretty confident. I mean, he can't help himself. He can't stop. I mean, he'll do whatever interview they ask him to do right now. He can't stop talking. At the moment,
they're excited.
Well, obviously they're excited. I mean, they went out and got, you know, guys that the Giants fans wanted that'll help their team. But I mean, I don't, for some reason, I don't love when owners speak regarding whatever team they own. I don't like when owners are as involved as John Mara is involved with decision making. Well, I think that was part of the problem with the whole. That's where you're at. That's part of the reason why you're here.
Eli Manning continuing with him a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it gets dangerous, man. When you start,
I agree. Because emotion gets involved.
Exactly right.
Because I like this guy personally gets involved, and once you do that, you're lost. You have no chance of competing.
Yeah, and that's the risk you run. I mean, that's what like the ones that are great at it, they completely take the whole personal relationship and emotion out of it.
You have to. You have to be a savage. Why do you think Belichick is so good? Richard Seymour, you know what? I think his better days are behind him. We're going to deal him. But he's great, but we're going to deal him. I think it's the right move. And they've done right by them for 20 years.
Yeah, but that's how you have to do it.
I know, but it's hard. And it's hard when you personally like guys. But I think you have to.
But that's why you have to keep owners out of it, because they can't help themselves. The owners can't help themselves. This is their fun. Like, this is to get to be best friends, they get close friends with Eli Manning. That's owners love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Like, if it was up to the problem.
If Bob Kraft didn't trust Bill Belichick as much as he trusts Bill Belichick, you don't think that Bob Kraft would have done whatever it takes to keep Tom Brady?
I'm sure he would. I'm sure he'd be the quarterback there right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
On RJ Santillo for the National League, the floor is yours.
Yes, we run through the National League. We're going to pick division winners, wildcard teams, the NLCS, the MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year of the NL. And we will also, in this next few minutes, pick our World Series predictions. But in order to get there, we must first start here.
NL East.
And who will win the NL East? Dave, we begin with you.
All right, I know what's going to happen here. I know Rick is going to become agitated with me. I think the rest of the show could be hostile, but I have to be honest with you. And my honest assessment of this division...
This does not sound like the Mets.
...is the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, no.
I'd like to be wrong, but I believe the Braves are the most talented team from top to bottom, and I will pick them to win the National League East.
All right.
I apologize.
Well, in that case, it makes sense to hear from Rick.
I got to agree with Dave. I hate to do it, but I have to agree with Dave. I'm going to pick the Atlanta Braves to win the division.
Wow. I thought you were going to...
What the hell world am I living in? What is happening right now? The two Mets fans on the show are going with the Braves?
Well, I think we have to be honest, no?
Can't you? LaGreca's a Mets fan. He didn't even pick the Mets to make the playoffs.
Wow.
Well, we'll get there.
I can't believe it. I don't know what's happening right now.
Negative.
This is bizarro world. I don't know what it is. I'm going with the Mets, damn it. If y'all won't do it, I'll do it. I'm going with the Mets. I think Jacob DeGrom establishes himself as the best, dare I say it, the best player in the National League, not just the best pitcher. I'm not saying he gets a Cy Young. I'm saying he wins the MVP, too. So I am going with the Mets to win the division.
Wow, that's a good tease from Dave and Rick. We'll see if they have the Mets making the playoffs in a few short moments, but first...
NL Central.
Chris, you and I were talking, this is not a great division, but we'll start with you here. Who do you got winning it?
Yeah, I think it's the worst division in baseball, and I'm going to go with the Cardinals. They're one of the best when it comes to run prevention, and I think Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado gives them enough punch offensively to be able to get it done. This team ain't had a losing record since 2007, so I'm going with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Rick?
The team I can trust.
I think the Brewers are going to have a better season than everyone thinks. But in saying that, I'm not picking the Brewers to win the division. I agree with Canty. I'm going to have the Cardinals win the division.
And Dave.
I could make it a clean sweep, but I won't. I like the Brewers here. I think Yelich bounces back. I think their bullpen is phenomenal. I believe in what Milwaukee is putting on the field. I'll take the Brewers.
All right, let's head to the left coast.
NL West.
There are two powerhouse teams at the top of this division. Dave, we'll start with you.
You can't go wrong with either one, but I have to go with the Dodgers. They're just too talented. They're there every year. All they do is win this division. They're the World Series champions, and I believe with something to prove, so I'll take the Dodgers to win the division.
And Rick.
I'm going to go Dodgers. And when you have David Price coming out of your bullpen, it's the definition of starting pitching depth, so I'm going to go Dodgers.
It's unanimous.
Clean sweep. Clean sweep. So I'm going to assume that this will lead us to wild card team number one.
Wild card teams.
And I can guess who this might be, but we'll start with you, Chris.
Yeah, it's going to be the Padres. Yeah, I have to go with the Padres. They're going to be in the playoffs this year. No question about it.
Rick?
I agree. Padres.
And Dave.
Can I get the sounder again?
Wild card teams.
Thank you. I'll go with the Fathers as well. Make it a game.
Well, he said wild card teams.
Wild card teams.
So that means there's a second. So, Dave, lead us off. Who is wild card team number two?
Number two will be the New York Mets.
Wow,
will be in the postseason. I think that it's very realistic that they're going to get there. The talent is absolutely there. I think they will make moves at the deadline if that sort of thing is necessary to bolster the bullpen and the starting staff if they need. I think they'll get better as the year goes on with Syndergaard and Carrasco getting into the starting rotation. I feel good about the Mets, so I'll take them as my second wild card team.
Rick, will you follow suit?
I am following suit. I will take the New York Mets as my second wild card team.
Wow. And Chris, who will be on KJZ later, and Jay Williams is wearing a troubling jean jacket. I think you might need to address that.
Theo Huxtable. Theo Huxtable-esque.
Yeah, I got it front and center on the TV here, but who is your wild card team number two?
I'm going with the Braves. I'm going with the Braves as the wild card.
All right, reverse order. So we move to
the NLCS.
So who do we have here? The two teams will hold off on the winner for the World Series prediction, but who do you have in the NLCS? And we'll start with Chris.
I am going to go Dodgers. I'm going to go Dodgers, Mets. Let's do it.
Wow.
Dodgers, Mets in the NLCS.
Chris
Let's
is
do
in.
It.
Chris is in.
Right now.
I'm bullish on the Mets.
Rick?
I'm going to go with the Dodgers as one of my teams.
Will he go off script here?
I'm going to have the Dodgers.
Down.
I'm going to have the Dodgers playing the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS.
Is that what you wrote down on your sheet?
That is what I wrote down, but I was going to make a last second change.
Dave.
I'm going to go with the Dodgers and the Padres, a National League West National League Championship Series.
All right, so we will get to the World Series, but first,
NL MVP.
Dave.
It's a tough one. NL MVP is tough.
It's very difficult. I would like to go with Jacob DeGrom, but I just can't. I'm going to go revert back and a forgotten man in the National League. I'm thinking Mookie Betts, and I say no.
Fernando
Tatis, no.
I know where you're going.
Where am
don't
I going?
Take, don't
you're
take
going to
bet.
Atlanta?
No.
Where are you going?
You going Juan Soto?
No.
You got to go somewhere.
Christian Yelich.
Oh, wow.
Who would be your National League?
You're high on the Brewers, man.
I think the Brewers are a tremendously talented team.
You just like the mascot that slides down the slot.
How could you not?
Rick, who you got?
I'm actually going to go with Ronald Acuna Jr.
And Chris.
I see what you did there, by the way.
What?
Don't go Braves. Don't go Braves because you wanted to monopolize the Braves. You are unbelievable.
Chris, you mentioned DeGrom could win MVP. Do you have him winning MVP?
Why not? I'm going with the hot take. I'm going DeGrom as the MVP. Run support has been a big issue for him in the past. It won't be this season. I think he has the wins to go along with the Gaudy ERA. Jacob DeGrom, Cy Young winner, and NL MVP.
NL Cy Young.
Well, we have Chris's answer. Rick?
I'm going to take one. Here's the thing. I think Walker Buehler could be right there.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I have to be a homer, and I just think he's the best in baseball. I mean, his velocity just continues to get better. I'm going to go with one, Jakob DeGrom.
Dave.
I'm going to err on the side of my team as well. I mean, he's the odds-on favorite. Lock me in, Jacob DeGrom.
Locked in. And finally for the National League.
NL Rookie of the Year.
David.
All right, here's my issue with this. I'm not
David.
Sure my pronunciation of the guy in Pittsburgh is accurate. How do I say that first name? Does anybody know it?
However you want. Cabrian.
I would go Cabrian.
All right. Then I will. And I will feel comfortable now because I thought it was Cabrian. I'll go Cabrian. I like the name Cabrian. Cabrian Hayes, Pittsburgh Pirates, my NL Rookie of the Year.
All right. I sense Rick also had him.
Why can't you have the same guy as me?
Because that's not fun. But I made the mistake. I'm not going to do it again because I made the mistake with the Lindor deal. I'm going to go with the son of Charlie Hayes. One Cabrian Hayes. I was going to go Ian Anderson. But I can't. I mean, I'm just pushing all my chips in with Atlanta.
Was that you having fun, or is Cabrian actually the son of Charlie Hayes?
He's actually Charlie Hayes' son.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, nice.
and Chris.
I should have saved that for Stump Rothenberg.
Well, you should have. I didn't know. Next Wednesday.
I'm going to go with, let's go Dylan Carlson from the Cardinals.
Dylan Carlson, and one more, the big one.
The World Series.
Chris, who's in it and who wins?
I think we're going to set up for the Yankees-Dodgers World Series, and I got to go with my Yankees actually finishing the drill this year, because if they don't do it this year, I don't know when it's going to happen. So I'm going to go with Yankees-Dodgers, Yankees win.
Yanks over Dodgers. Rick?
I'm going to stick to my script, because Dave wants me to stick to my script. I'm going to go with the Yankees-Dodgers as my World Series prediction. I, unlike Chris, believe that the Dodgers will be repeat World Series champions.
All right, and Dave?
Yeah, let's make it a clean sweep on the two teams, Yankees-Dodgers. I'm not playing homer like one Chris Canty. I'm going to go with the best team in baseball for the second consecutive season, your Los Angeles Dodgers.
There you have it. We're all locked in. We'll keep track of these at the first of the month, so the next check-in is May 1st.
May 1. I expect tremendous things from K. Brian Hayes of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No, all right. It's Cabrian. It's not K. Brian. It's Cabrian.
You said it's however I like, and I like K. Brian.
Well, that's not what... If he was a pitcher, that would be great. He's not.
Well, maybe he's like Otani. He can do lots of little things.
He doesn't. Here's the interesting thing, though, because when I was having the same problem with the National League MVP, I mean, there's more than a handful of guys.
You don't like my Yelich one, do you?
No, I really like your Yelich one.
Oh,
I like the
Brewers.
I was going back and forth with the Brewers, in all honesty. I could see Yelich being the MVP. I could see Nolan Arenado being the MVP. I could see Soto being the MVP.
Betts.
Tatis Jr. could be. Betts.
Yep.
I mean, I could see Manny Machado having a big year.
Yep. DeGrom. All right, that's who Buster likes.
I mean, the National League is loaded, dude.
It's a talented league.
Hot take. Write that down. National League loaded.
No, because
loaded.
That's obvious. If you sat here and said the American League is loaded, I'd make fun of you. Then you'd look like the genius I was in the NFL months later. But for you to sit here and tell me that the National League is loaded, that's the obvious selection.
I want you to write that down, RJ.
No.
April 1st, Rick DiPietro says, no. National League, loaded.
No, that's ridiculous. All right, DCR brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. My friend, it is your time to shine. Let's bring in the Nobservations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his Nobservations. We could have called it Rick's Observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then Nob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
Surprise, it's not Rick DiPietro. It's me today, since it's the two of you, and Chris has done the KJZ cable.
I wasn't privy to this at all.
Surprise, Dave. Surprise.
Oh, all right, well, welcome.
Welcome, and good morning, and welcome to the Observation. So we're going to start in Utah, or rather...
It was like a Rick open to the show.
That was
good
kinda,
morning, welcome, and good morning.
That's did you kinda, see, did you hear, by the way, did you hear the K sign off on Greedy's show yesterday?
Oh, it was terrific.
I missed it. What did we have?
He starts mumbling and babbling about... you have to play it.
RJ's got it.
We'll find it. We'll bring it back.
Greeny says something to the effect of, thanks for joining me. Tell the guys I said hi. And Michael got caught off guard because there's no one to say hi
well.
To on Greeny's side.
You say hello to.
So
thank you, my friend, and I will see you soon. Say hi to everybody. Be well. You say hello to. Okay, take care, Michael. It's Michael K. with me here.
That's actually kind of worrisome. Like, I worry about Michael's health when I hear something
say
like
hello.
That.
Say hello to. You know what I never realized? We'll get to the observations in a moment. This is a great jumping off point. We've always heard Lawrence Taylor and what he says to Don, where he's like, you know, I'm just having some juice, that one. But we actually heard yesterday, which I had never heard before, Don's reaction to that. Do you guys have that to play?
All right, fine, Don. I'm just having juice.
No, it's doing real well.
You never heard that before. No, I'm actually like, you've never heard Don's response to it before?
No.
No, it's doing real well.
Yeah, Don,
all right,
Don was
fine, so having juice.
So all thrown right. off, his brain broke.
Oh, it's so good.
Be well. You say hello to.
I mean, at least Don has an excuse.
No, play by Jay Williams. Real I don't well. Feel that bad anymore.
I'm stunned you never heard that before.
No.
That's right, been played
break.
For years.
Jay Williams on the other side. That's not nearly as bad.
It happens.
Those are much worse. Rick, doesn't that make you feel better?
Oh, I'm sweating right now.
Which do you like better, Michael's or Don? I think Don's is better.
It's like Don actually almost morphed into Lawrence, like he was speaking the same language as Lawrence Taylor.
You know, it's like when people say you start to look like your significant other when you're with them for long enough. That's what it was like with Don. Like, Lawrence Taylor just said something that was unintelligible.
All right,
was like,
Don.
Oh, yeah?
I'm having juice.
He's having juice.
We're well.
You know, that might actually be the best explanation for it that I've ever heard over the years. That might be the one. That might be the one. Anyway, we're going to Utah from Memphis or from Memphis to Utah, whichever you prefer. The Jazz had a scary incident the other day. The team charter plane collided with a flock of birds shortly after takeoff, causing an engine fire and failure and forced an emergency landing. Here's Mike Conley discussing the scary flight.
Hey, what happened on yesterday's flight for a good 10, 15 minutes, I think all of us on that flight were questioning if we were going to be here today. You know, so that's how serious it was for us. And can't speak for everybody, but I know that, you know, guys were trying to text family and, you know, just in case, you know, it was that kind of situation. And we're just thrilled and thankful for the pilots and the staff and what they were able to do to get us back home safely. And I think a lot of us were shook up. Obviously, you know, you don't just go through something like that and get back on a plane and head to go, you know, play a game again. So put perspective on life for all of us. And like I said, we're just all thankful to be here and doing what we love to do.
Jordan Clarkson thought it was the end.
I feel like a lot of people on that plane, it was like one of those flights where you were sending out texts. I know you've seen on the movies when a plane about to crash or something. It got to that point where we was all on the plane like, yo, this might be really the end. So, I mean, it was a crazy situation.
One last thing on this, guys, and it's kind of like worrisome. We're all fans of Donovan Mitchell. We like Donovan Mitchell.
Sure.
We think he's a star. He missed Wednesday night's game due to what the team called personal reasons, and he has discussed the fear of flying in the past, and you hope he's not too shaken up by this that it doesn't affect him the rest of the season. But the Jazz, they've been one of those teams that have been rolling all season long, and it really makes you take a look at things and not take things for granted.
That'd be the end for me. I'm not exaggerating. If I was ever on that flight, I think I would never fly again. I'd turn into John Madden. You could bust me around the country. I would never get over it.
Yeah, if I could do it, if I could travel strictly by car or whatever it was, as opposed to flying, I would 100% do it.
We'll stay in the NBA. One of the big deals at the trade deadline involved Lou Williams going back to Atlanta, and people made light of that for reasons that I will not get into here. But the 16-year NBA veteran was actually undecided if he wanted to go back and play for his hometown team. He joined them again ahead of their Tuesday night game in Phoenix. Took about a week after the trade. He actually thought he might retire. He said in a Zoom availability, "I had a lot of investment there being L.A. We had success. We were gearing up for another deep run, a championship run. That was my mentality. I thought I would finish the season there." But Lou Williams is all in on the Hawks. He's ready to go, and you hope he has a good end there for his hometown team.
Yeah, I was surprised when I read the story. I get it. I mean, Atlanta is nowhere near the team that the Clippers are, and he's trying to chase a championship. But I mean, Lemon Pepper Lou going back to Atlanta, Magic City, get those wings.
Love all that. I said we weren't going to get into it here, but
well, you have to. That's the only reason. That's the only reason you brought the story.
I mean, what, you just wanted to get into whether or not Lou Williams was going to report to Atlanta? You thought that was the story? That's not the story.
This is called the layup. This is called the layup, Dave.
This is what I'm talking about, Santi. This is what I'm talking about. Me and you got that chemistry where all of a sudden you see I'm rolling to the bucket and you're throwing it up so I can slam it down. I like it.
There you go.
Please. You throw it. Look like the Knicks half-court offense. The way
you
relax. Put that together.
Have you guys got a look at the MLB top jersey sales yet?
No.
Okay, Mike Trout, we all agree, best player in baseball, right?
Yes.
More or less. He's only 10th on the list. The list came out yesterday from Major League Baseball.
I like to guess at these kind of things.
All right, make your shot. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say Fernando Tatis.
It's number 3.
Mm-hmm. You want to take a stab here, or do you know it?
No, I'll take a stab. I'm gonna go with one Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is number 1.
Number 1. All right. How about Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge is number 6.
Nice.
I'm going to go with Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper is number 4.
How about the very wealthy Francisco Lindor?
Number 9. Number 8. I apologize. Number 8.
Nice. We're very good at this.
I'm going to go with Kulani Sutaki. Yes. Where is Kulani on the list? I'm going to say they just won the World Series. I'm going to go with Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw.
Uh-oh.
I'm not seeing Kershaw. Actually, he's number five.
Yes.
He's hidden. Yep.
Yes.
What are you looking at? Is it the hieroglyphics?
The type is very small.
Dave's like, uh-oh.
It sounds like Rain Man.
You are so invested on people failing. It's quite
definitely
sad.
Not Kershaw. Uh-oh. I will say, how about Gerrit Cole?
Gerrit Cole is number 14, so not on the top 10.
And then forget it now. Wrap it up. I lose. Rick wins.
Okay, so Ronald Acuña was number 7.
Yep,
You guys will never get number 9.
Don't say that. Never.
No, you'll never get it.
Josh Hader.
Nope.
I mean, we don't have that kind of time.
No, you don't have that kind of time. But number 9 is Kike Hernandez.
Yeah, I never would have gotten him. Ever.
It's obviously a Dodger thing. I mean, look at how many Dodgers are in the top 10.
Yeah, but right. He's a Red Sox now.
But he was a Dodger. Now you got to buy. If you loved him when he was a Dodger, now he's got a new jersey. You got to buy his new jersey.
We could be here till tomorrow morning, and I wouldn't have gotten Kike Hernandez.
Absolutely. Ready to play some Did It Happen in Florida?
Yes.
Yeah. A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did It Happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
A man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Gets me every time. I got two for you today, cool. and they're both animal themed, so you will enjoy this. Recently, an unmasked mystery man and his trusty steed, yes, a horse, did a lap around a convenience store. There's video of this. It's a brand new, very nice looking convenience store, and you see this man on his horse. He's not dragging the horse around. He's in the convenience store, riding his horse. This actually prompted a social media post from the convenience store chain that said, "We understand that you might have a codependent relationship with old paint. We do ask that you dismount, ask your Bronco to wait outside, and enter our store solo in the future. We will be glad to welcome you back, sir, but next time, no horsing around, please." Did this happen in the state of Florida?
I'll say no. I think that's more of a... I don't know. I'm not going to even project where that happened, but I'm going to say not Florida, no.
Dave's so good at this game. And we've had, I think we had a story similar like this, and I think it was actually Florida where he took his horse through the
drive-thru. On the highway, right?
Yeah.
This is actually in the store. The guy's like walking by produce. It's
all right, I'm going to go with Dave. This is right up his alley. I'll go with Dave. I'll say that's not Florida.
Bozeman, Montana. Congratulations to you both.
Yes.
Nice. See? All right. Feels good to win, doesn't it?
Here's another one. Ravens. Ravens and Costco. Customers are reporting having their groceries stolen by ravens. Here's a story from Marjorie Jones and her husband, among the Poetic Bird's recent victims. The pair arrived home from the store only to realize one of their filet mignon steaks, part of a four-pack bought at Costco, was in the wind. The pack fell in the parking lot, but Jones' husband was loading groceries and didn't notice until it was too late. Then he said, "Oh my God, after I picked up that pack of steaks, I saw a raven in the parking lot with a steak in his mouth." Another customer said she lost an entire package of short ribs to her raven after leaving the store last winter, recalling that the bird was flying away with it. "I've been here my entire life, dealt with ravens, but never had this happen to me ever. They know what they're doing. They're very fat. I think they've got a whole system here."
Henry and the purple yes, bird.
Perfect.
The Ravens.
Is this happening? Is this happening in Florida?
You want to go first here?
Is this happening in Florida? Fat ravens that mug people for their beef. I will say not Florida.
I will concur, and I feel better about this one than I did the first one. I'm going to say this is, I think, a Pacific Northwest-ish for this one.
Does Anchorage, Alaska count as Pacific Northwest is the question. I guess it kind of does.
Dude, I'll tell you what, when I went fishing, so I used to every summer I would take, and we'd go on a vacation, my dad, me, Pete Such, and for a couple summers we went out to You'd have to, we would go, and it was, I think we were 20 miles from Alaska. That's where we would fish. Like, you'd be out on your boat. We had killer whales swim under the boat, which was the coolest thing ever. And Dave, you could throw, like, we'd have our, like, our bait that we'd use fish to fish the salmon. You could, you would be by the shore. You could throw a piece of the bait up in the air.
And it would never land.
No, a bald eagle would come swooping. It was the coolest, one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm reading some of the comments on this story, too, and people are actually, like, commented, like, no, I've seen the size of the ravens in Alaska. Like, these things are bigger than toddlers. So, of course, they're stealing your groceries. They're easily three or four times the size of a raven you'd see in your neighborhood in the Midwest. So,
and there you have it. Very well done, Santiago.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.